So today, I want to look in Psalms. You know, for the Sunday school children, you can go to the classes now. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. You know, several weeks ago, we had a Bible study at home on this Psalms. And I kind of enjoyed it, and I was looking to the Lord to help me as to what to speak about for the message today. And the Lord laid on my heart to kind of go back to the Psalms. We really enjoyed it when we do the study. It's called a Psalm of David. When he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. Before we go on, I'd like to pray again. Our God in heaven, we are here looking to you to bless us this morning. Help us to see you. Help us to be ministered to. Speak to our hearts. Encourage our hearts. Just help us to have an open mind, listening ears, lively spirit. Speak to my heart and bless me, bless my brothers and sisters. We look to you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The historical background for Psalm 34 is actually found in the Old Testament. If you can turn with me to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to read verses 15 through 10 through 15. 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15. Now, we all know the story of David. How, you know, he fought Goliath, he defeated him, and the Lord chose him to be the chosen king of Israel. But Saul was still in reign, and Saul was jealous of him. He attempted to kill him, you know, and Saul's son, Jonathan, had a special kindness and love for David, you know, and but Saul did everything in an attempt, and David had to flee from cave to cave, running away from Saul. You know, the Lord was with him. The Lord protected him. There was an incident that happened where he went to war, and the Lord blessed him that he defeated, you know, he led the army to defeat the enemy. And the people started singing songs that, you know, Paul defeats his thousand, but, I mean, Saul, I should say, Saul defeats his thousand, but David defeated thousands of thousands, tens of thousands. So when Saul heard that, his anger even got arose more. And then after that time, he was looking for ways to get rid of David, and David had to run away. You know, Jonathan devised a plan where, you know, he talked to his dad, and, you know, he found out that he really, really was looking for a way to kill him, so he had to send a secret message to David to continue to flee. So that's the background for the psalm, right? In 1 Samuel 21, we're going to read it from verse 10. It was in an attempt of running away for a refuge that led him to flee to Gath. Okay, in verse 10. I'm going to reread with me verse 10. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul. He went to Achish, the king of Gath. That's the Philistine. And the servant of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dancing, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands'? Now David took this word to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servant, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So David was running away from Saul. He ran to the Philistines, who are ungodly people. He was looking for a place of refuge, you know, in an attempt to not fall into the hands of Saul. Now, when he got to Gath, he realized he was in a bigger problem than where he was coming from, because the servants of the king recognized him, and they said, "This guy that has come for refuge, don't you know who he is? He is David, who's going to be the king of Israel." The moment he realized that, he had to devise a plan, because he's afraid that they were going to kill him. So he pretended to be a madman. He pretended that he was crazy. He was insane. He started riding on the wall of the gate. You know, he was drooling. You know, his saliva was drooling through him. And, you know, he was pretending to just be insane. And then the king saw and said, "Wait a minute, what in the world? Who is this man that you're talking about? The guy is insane." In those days, if you're insane, the king don't want none to deal with you. So that's why he said, why would you bring this person to my palace, to my palace? What am I going to do with him?" So effectively, King Achish fell for the plan. David devised, you know, I mean, wrongfully, I guess, because he, first and foremost, he shouldn't have gone to the enemy for a place of refuge, right? But he prayed to the Lord while he was doing it, that the Lord would deliver him from that ordeal. You know, although the episode, I mean, you will agree, is probably not one of the best chapters in David's life, but nevertheless, he looked to the Lord. He looked to the Lord in time of need, and the Lord delivered him. So he wrote Psalm 34 to celebrate that event. So that's the background, right? That was the background. That's why when you go to, now turn back to Psalm 34. Believers through the ages have loved Psalm 34 because it expresses their own testimony of salvation by grace through the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, when you looked at the heading of the psalm, it said, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away. Now, we read in 1 Samuel that the name of the king was Achish. Here, it says Abimelech. Well, the Bible is not contradictory, right? It is believed that Abimelech is the name of the throne, just like you have Pharaoh in Egypt. But the personal name of the king at the time was Achish. So that's just a clarification. Now, look at verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boasts in the Lord." Brothers and sisters, praising God is a good thing. David sought the Lord when he needed him. The Lord helped him. He delivered him. He was moving from one cave to the other, running away from his enemy. And every step of the way, the Lord was there. And what did David do? He praised him for it. Right? "I will bless the Lord." You know, salvation is a wonderful gift that many, if not all of us here have. A gift of such tremendous value that it should prompt us to offer unceasing thanksgiving, unceasing praise to the Lord. You know, we're not saved. When I was in Africa and I got saved, I've been to a congregation where you come and you look so piety that, you know what I mean? Like you, it's almost like being saved is just, you know, just being like, okay, everything is okay now. No, I don't believe that. You know, praise and worship. The Lord wants us to praise Him. He wants us to, like, that's why we just sang, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in Him." Amen? Amen. David was doing that. He said, "I will bless the Lord," because He just delivered him from his enemy. He was at the verge of being killed, save for the fact that the king took him for a madman. Even though his servant knew he wasn't mad, but the king fell for it, and David was delivered as a result. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Brothers and sisters, does he say sometimes? No. Not just when your prayers are answered. "I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord." Not just when things are going your way. At all times. Praise the Lord at all times. Think about it. Can we ever praise God enough? Can we ever praise Him too much? The answer is no. The psalmist says His praise shall continually be in my mouth, non-stop. You know, praise the Lord non-stop. Take a break and examine your life. What is it that the Lord has blessed you with? Do you praise Him for it? Do we praise Him for the joy of life, the joy of salvation? You know, I know we have troubles in life, but that should not stop us from praising Him for who He is, for loving you to the point of sending His Son to die in your stead. That Christ would take on the death that was designed for all because of our sin, that He will take your spot, my spot. Such that on Friday with young people, we talked about how believers are saints. You are a saint. I'm a saint. Saint means we're God's people, holy people of God that have been separated to God. But we were in sin because we're good people or because we're great at what we do. We're saints because He made us saints through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we praising Him for that? That's what David was writing about. He said, "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Look at the next verse. "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord." Brothers and sisters, it's okay to boast, but in the Lord. God wants you to boast about Him. Not to be quiet and shy and timid and cowardice, you know what I mean? He wants us to not just be in the closet. He wants us to speak, to be happy for what we have. We have a gold mine, brothers and sisters, as Christians. We have a wonderful thing that the world don't know what they're missing. God wants us to boast about it. He doesn't want us to boast in our own character or now an accomplishment. Doesn't mean that we can't be thankful for that. He wants us to be thankful for that, but our boast should be in Him. You know, one writer once said, when we understand the gospel of grace, then we realize that we did all the sinning and Christ did all the saving. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a joy we have in Christ. What joy we have in Christ. You know, to boast in the Lord means to talk about what the Lord has done in your life. And not just talking about yourself. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31, it says, "Therefore, as is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." It's okay to boast. It's okay to be prideful in Christ. It's okay to be happy about your salvation. It's not something to be shy about. You know, like when our friends, co-worker, neighbors you know, ask about the reason for the joy that's in you, it's okay to tell them, to be proud of it. Because you got something that is wonderful, that is lovely, you know, that is envious, that's to be desired. You know, it is a good thing to boast in the Lord, to exalt His name, His mighty and holy name, to tell others about Him. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, right? Paul and Silas, remember that story of Paul and Silas? They were sent to prison, not for doing something bad, but because they were preaching about Christ. They were converting souls to the kingdom of His Son, of our Father's Son. And then they were arrested and sent to prison. But guess what? While they were in prison, what did they do? They were praising God. You know, in verse 25 of Acts chapter 16, when Paul, let's take a peek. Maybe we'll go there real quick. Acts 16, look at verse 25. Not only were they praising God in the middle of the night, in the middle of the night, like, look at Acts 16, 25. It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't doing it in secret. They weren't whispering under their breath. They were loud and clear that the jailer heard them. And then there was an earthquake. The Lord did a miracle in the midst of all those praise and worship. And they were set free to the point that the jailer was going to take his own life. And Paul has to plead him to not do it. That they were still here. They weren't running away. But the Lord is setting them free. It's okay to praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to praise Him. It inhabits the praises of His people. Let's turn to Jeremiah. Very quickly. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll read verse 23. Jeremiah 9, 23. Jeremiah 9:23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understand and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in this I delight, says the Lord. He wants us to praise Him, to lift Him up. Not glorying in just in the blessing that He's blessed us with, but acknowledging the source of our blessing. And giving Him praise. And giving Him worship. Regardless of our circumstances. That's what David wrote the psalm about. Right? Now, let's turn back to Psalm 34. There's more to come. Verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. You know, many times, believers, we look to order to praise Him for us. David is saying, no, it starts with me. You know, give Him praise, give Him glory, and then invite other people to magnify His name with you for the blessings that He's blessing us with. Say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. In verse 4, He says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. When we, brothers and sisters, when we seek God, Bible says He answers us. He hears. His answer may not always be what you hope for, right? It may not always be a yes when we wanted it to be yes. His timing may not always be our timing. But you know what? He does answer. Isn't that, you know, just pleasant to know? That God is faithful to His promise, right? Just like David, when we seek the Lord, He hears us. And He delivered us from all fears. Fears from the unknown future. Right? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. It can be daunting sometimes, just to not know what tomorrow brings. There's fear of good health. We have relatives that are struggling with a health matter. We pray for so many people today, this morning, right? We have other life circumstances that are really burdensome. You know, it makes us fearful. But guess what? Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says, when we seek Him, He hears us. He answers us. So, brothers and sisters, what is it that you are afraid of? What are you dreadful of? Seek the Lord. Seek Him. He will hear you. In Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him. To all who call upon Him in truth. If we call upon Him in truth, through the faith, the assurance that we have in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to hear Him. We, as believers, we have a privilege, a wonderful privilege, that we can approach God at any time. Think about it. You can go to God anytime, 24/7. That's amazing. No matter what it is that is burdening us, we can take it to Him 24/7. No special invitation. We already have it through Christ. You don't need to go see a secretary. You don't need to go see a pope or anything. Just go to Him. What's better than that? You know? I know sometimes it's difficult when we're going through trials to be reminded of those truths. But that's exactly what God will want us to do. Turn to John chapter 16. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said here. John 16. I'll read verse 23. John 16, 23. This is an assurance that Christ gave to His disciples. And he gave it to you, brothers and sisters, to me, right? Verse 23 says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. That's our Lord Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Do you believe that? Do we trust that? Do we believe that? Then if we believe it, let's take it to heart. But Christ didn't say, you know, sometimes. Say, whatever we ask the Father in His name, the Lord will do it. So that's a promise. That's an assurance that we can hang on to, we can take to heart. Because God never fails. Let's go back to Psalm 34. In verse 5, say, they looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and delivers them. So the Lord will deliver us. He hears us. In verse 8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. It's an urgent invitation to the unbelievers. Maybe there's anyone here today that, you know, perhaps hasn't trusted their faith in Christ. You know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There was a gentleman called Murdoch Campbell in his book, From Grace to Glory, says, we may argue about God. We may argue about His existence and the external evidences which the universe and providence provide. But only when His love and presence touch our hearts can we really, really know Him in His unspeakable goodness. You know, until you have a personal experience with God, everything else is abstract. But when people have a personal experience, their life change. That's why, you know, people that are, you know, renowned atheists got saved years after they made it a point to oppose God. Look at the case of Paul in the New Testament. I mean, it was a typical example of an atheist, right? It was his business to frustrate believers, to make them miserable, their life miserable. And he won't stop at anything for doing that. Until he had an experience with God. And all that changed. To the point that he used the same seal that he used prior to getting saved to be one of the greatest evangelists in the whole planet. In terms of what he's done, you know, in the faith. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Say, oh, taste and see that Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You want to be blessed? Put your trust in Christ. You will never be disappointed. That's a guarantee. Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, you his sin. There is no one to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Brother, we have so many assurances in Christ. There's no need to wander around looking for other things to hold on to. The Bible says, though the lion, young lion in the wilderness, though they might lack stuff sometimes, but those that trust in the Lord will not lack any good thing. At times, this is difficult to take to heart, especially when you're going through situations in life. Right? Maybe you're struggling with financial resources, or it's good health, you know, or anything, and you say, man, how can this be real in my life? It is real. God's time is always best. As I said, God always answers us, but not always in our own time. Or not to the extent or in the manner and shape that we desire for him to answer us. But the question is, will we still trust him no matter what? Trust him no matter the circumstance. So you see, fear the Lord, you his saints. Fear the Lord, you his saints. He wants us to fear. You know, the term fear means it's more like a call to awe, wonder, worship, and reverence of God. To fear God is to respond to him in piety, obedience. Are we obeying God? You know, sometimes when we are given to the flesh, we turn our deaf ear to God. It's like we don't hear him because we're so much indulging in our flesh in the circumstances that we find ourselves. And then there's lack of fear when that happens. So what David is saying is, fear God. You his saints. We already established that we're his saints. I am his saint, as you are, if you're a believer. Obey him. There's nothing better that we can do in light of what has been done for you and for me than to obey God. We can pay him back, right? Even if we attempt to, it will never be enough. We can praise him enough, although he expects us to, right? But we can obey him. We can obey the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the sign of the New Testament. It's a mark of the discipleship. Obedience. Obedience better than sacrifice. God would rather we obey him than trying to serve him. Obedience first and service second. And we obey him by fearing him, by reverencing him, by keeping him in awe. Turn to Proverbs. Let's look at one. Proverbs chapter 1. I'm sure many of us are familiar with this. Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. Say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want knowledge? Fear the Lord. You want understanding? Right? On Friday, we talked about how knowledge is acquiring truth. And wisdom is applying the truth that you've acquired. So if you want knowledge, fear the Lord And he also will bless you with wisdom. That's what he did with Solomon. Remember the story of Solomon? When he prayed that God would just give him wisdom and knowledge to be able to rule as a king. He gave him more than he ever hoped for. Because he trusted in him. All those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. That's a promise. That's a promise. Verse 12, going back to Psalm 34. In verse 12, it says, verse 11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is a man who desires life? Do you desire life? And loves many days. You want to live long time in this world? That he may see good. So that you can enjoy the blessings that Lord blesses us with in this life. Is that our aspiration? Now, David said, I have three practical instructions for you. How you can maximize that. How you can maximize that. Look at verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil. Control your tongue. Control your tongue. Keep yourself from deception. Right? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That's the fear of the Lord. Verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. A separated walk. Keep or separate from evil and separated to do good works. You know, the Bible says we are not saved by works, but we are created for good works, that we will walk in them. God wants us to walk right as believers. Walk circumspectly. And then finally it says, seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace. And make it your business to go after it. You know, in Romans 12:18, it says, do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. If it's within you, live peaceably with everyone. Make it your business, your determination to be at peace with everyone. It's not easy. It's very easy. Some people are just difficult to love. But guess what? Bible says, make it your business to love them. The more difficult, the better God's truth is revealed in us. The better you're depending on God to bring it to life. Right? Because the ones that are easy to love, they're easy going. It's like, you know what? You can just say hi and they, oh yeah. But other people look you up and down like, boy, you know, don't step on me next time, I'm going to chop your head off. Right? But the Lord is saying, do all that you can do to live in peace with everyone. That was the third principle that he's saying there. That if you want to live a good life, right, if you want to enjoy good days, many days, you saw that in verse 12, keep your tongue, control your tongue, live a separated life, walk circumspectly, and pursue peace with everyone. Seek it and pursue it. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Again, an assurance that God is not going to leave you alone. So, brothers and sisters, we're going through difficulties in life. I know many of us have issues in varying degree. Right? Your problems may not be mine. I may not be another brothers or sisters. But guess what? We all have one issue or the other. It's not just you. We may not be, everybody may not be hearing their issues, right, for prayer, but it doesn't mean they're not praying in you know, silently in their heart. But what we have in common is here, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The Lord has not forgotten about us. He will not forget about you. Just trust him. Trust him. His ears are open to their cry. Brothers and sisters, no matter what it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Cry to Him. Literally, cry to Him. David did that. When he lost his child, he sobbed and cried. It's a sign of worship. Just to be totally broken and contrite before Him. The Lord looked forward to that. And guess what? We have that intimate relationship with Him. If you're a believer, the Lord Jesus has broken that wall of partitioning, that we can be broken and contrite before our God. And He hears that. He wants that. When was the last time you did that? When was the last time you just like fell down on your knees and you just broke down before God? And you say, you know what, I've reached the end of my rope. I can't do this anymore. I need your help. But you know what? He will help you. That's what the Bible, that's the assurance we have here. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Again, assurance. The righteous cries. The Lord cares about each one of us, brothers and sisters. He cares about your well-being. He wants to help you. He cares about your continued faith and devotion to the truth. The Lord cares. He cares about your finances. He cares about your health. He cares about your relationship. Just take a moment. Think about what your situation may be. And put it right there. He cares about it. What's your struggle in life? He loves you to the point of sending His Son to die for you. What could be greater than that? Greater luck has no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. If He can die for you, will He not take care of everything else? Right? That's why I say, cast your burden onto Me. Right? We have an incredible privilege, again, of instant audience with the Lord. Every time we go to Him, He's ready, willing to hear us. That's a promise. That's an assurance. So let's embrace it. You know, these are wonderful things we have in Christ. So being saved, He's not just saying, okay, just you're saved now, so just go about your business. Don't bother nobody. Don't let anybody, you know what I mean? Be quiet. That's not what the Lord wants. Let's look. Turn page to Psalm 33. Just the Psalm before. Read a couple of verses there. See, verse 1, Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Rejoice. For praise from the upright is what? Is what? Beautiful. God delight our praise. He wants us to rejoice in our difficult situation. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Because praise from the upright is a beautiful thing to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him in a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Praise the Lord. He wants us to praise Him. Praise Him when you're home. You know, like many times when we pray, we jump into our request. Right? One of the things David does well when you read the book of Psalms, and Paul does in all of the episodes that he wrote, they start out by praising God. Before they ask, they thank Him for the salvation that He's given them, for the blessing that He's blessed them with, for the protection. Then they say, okay, while I'm at it, I need this and I need that and I need that. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine your son just comes to you, he don't talk to you for the whole week, right? He won't listen to you. And it's like that, I need $100. You know what? You feel like you want to do it, but you're not, it's not the same. But if he comes to you and says, Dad, I really love you. Thank you for all that you do for me, all the sacrifices that you do. I just want you to know, I really appreciate it. I know I don't say it now, but I really, really do appreciate it. Oh, you know what? There's no this new pair of sneakers. But you know what? Your setup, it's almost like your how do I say, you're provoked to want to react. That's how God wants us to, that's the attitude that God is asking us to embrace. That's what Paul, David did. They worship God, they praise him. Let's adapt that. When you pray next time, don't jump into praying. Thank him first. Worship him first. He wants you to. We just read it in Psalms. And by the way, this is just two of how many chapters of Psalms. And they all have similar concepts, similar, you know, ideas. You know, that's what David was doing. Now, don't forget, David was just like us. He was being chased to be killed. He was being persecuted. He was going through troubles. So when you go back to Psalm 34, you will see that we're not spared from troubles at all, right? Look at verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Verse 19. Maybe this is familiar to you. Verse 19, right? Read with me. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. Now, be careful here. He doesn't say he's going to deliver you from them. Right? God never promised that we're not going to have problems in life when you get saved. You're not delivered from problem, from affliction, out of afflictions. They're going to come in droves. Because all the disciples of old, they had their own share. They had their own shares of problem. You know, David had his own shares of problem. Paul had to be let down from a window so that he can escape from people that were after him to kill him. Daniel was, you know, was massacred. I mean, you can go on and on. We're not going to be exempted from life difficulties. But the one thing we can hang our hat on is that God is going to be right there with you when you go through it. You're not going to go through it alone. That was an assurance. He delivered them out of it. If you go back to verse 19, he didn't say out of some of them, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Just got to trust him, brothers and sisters. Whatever you're going through, whatever the problem in your life, maybe you have a marital problem, maybe you have again, finances, you know, problem with family members, you know, take it to the Lord in prayer. There's nothing too little to pray to God about. Nothing too big. He wants them all. Right? He doesn't want you to carry those burdens all by yourself. He wants to carry for us. You know, one other thing we should be reminded of, whatever problem we have is just in this life. It ends here in this life. When we get to heaven, no more pain, no more sorrow. No more headaches. Right? Those family members you haven't spoken to in 5 years, that'll be history. Well, make sure you take care of that now. Don't go to the grave without fixing that. Right? So it ends here. David had troubles, problem, but it didn't stop him from praising the Lord. In fact, it prompted him to praise him more. You know, those problems drew him to want to praise God more, to acknowledge him more. We're not delivered from trouble, but out of trouble. John 16:33. I'm going to end with this. John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But in the world you will have what? What does it say? Tribulation. This is a given that we're going to have peace in Christ as believers, but in the world you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems. But look at the assurance. Be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's an assurance. No matter what it is, be of good cheer. Don't be dismayed. Don't be confounded. For the Lord thy God is going to be there with you. May the Lord encourage us. Because it can be very discouraging. Life situations. They come from left and right. They hit you when you least expect it. Right? When you think you had it figured out, then boom. But guess what? Take it to the Lord in prayer and trust Him. Trust Him and worship and praise Him. May the Lord bless us and encourage us. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for being God. Thank you. Thank you for making it your business to love us. You didn't have to. Who are we? What is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you visited him? We're like shells. There's nothing likable in our frames. But you've chosen to love us even when we're not lovable. When we were dead in sins and trespasses, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me, he died for my brothers and sisters. Father, you did that to prove to us that there's nothing in us that's attractive, that you will not share your glory with no man. You did it because you chose to, because you wanted to. And we're thankful for it, Father. We love you for loving us. Father, help us. Forgive us at times when we're faithless, when we act as if we don't trust you, when we don't draw from the resources that you've endowed us with. Forgive us, Father. We're sorry. We repent. We confess. Help us to draw nearer to you. You know, help us to maximize our fellowship, our walk with you on a daily basis. You know, when life circumstances hit us, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. Help us to trust in you, Father. You know, run to you, our tower of refuge. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Father, you know what we're dealing with. Everyone is dealing with. Rescue us, Father. Forgive us. Heal us. Deliver us out of our troubles. And give us an assurance. Remind us of the assurances that you've given us. Help us to cling to them. And trust you. Because you're faithful. That have promised. We praise you. We thank you. Bless us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.